continuing December 5, 1993. We moved to Washington, D.C. in December of 1937. And there we found an apartment in Alexandria. It was an old building that had been a hospital during the Civil War and had been made into a number of business ventures, a spark plug factory at one time, and eventually made into an apartment. It had furniture that partly furnished, and we had stored our furniture in Tahlequah since we didn't know where we were going to stay finally. So we moved in there and found Alexandria a lovely place to live. Lewis was given a sort of make-work job at the Children's Bureau, rather boring, but he got on the bus at Alexandria and went directly into Washington, riding along the lovely Potomac River. He got home on time, and we often took rides out into the country and down along the Potomac to Mount Vernon. So it was a pleasant thing, but Lewis was not very happy with his work, as it was just makeshift. At that time, Lewis discovered that there was a position opening in the city hospital, Gallinger Hospital. Gallinger Hospital had never had any doctors at the head of their departments. The private physicians had just taken charge, and since they often didn't go out to the hospital at all, it was run largely by interns and residents, so the district decided to hire 5 doctors, the heads of departments, and give a lift to Gallinger. Lewis discussed the job with Dr. Dunham and Dr. Elliot, and they thought it would be a good thing for him to try. So he accepted the position, and he was given $3,000 a year, which was quite an increase for us. So we began planning then to stay in Washington for some time. At that time, I was pregnant and looking forward to having our first baby. We just thought that we should have a baby soon as the years were passing by. So we looked desperately for a house to live in, and it was hard because we had to have a downstairs bedroom and bath due to mother's inability to climb the stairs. Eventually we found a house in Arlington, where we moved in July 1938. John was born on September the 27th, 1938. In Columbia Hospital in Washington. Columbia Hospital was an old hospital, a woman's hospital, been there for many, many years, and it was showing the signs of neglect from the Depression. Women stayed in the hospital 10 days or 2 weeks when they had a baby, and so I was there for at least that long. When we came home, Dad had got so concerned about the new baby coming home, he wanted it to be warm enough, and he stoked up the fire, and I think it was about 92 or 3 in the house, terribly hot. And of course, the baby began to cry right away when it became so hot. But we were home safe, and we were a happy family. Help out. I joined him many times on the trips, and found it a very interesting place to live. The counties were very poor. Most of the people were part Indian, and they had lived on little farms and had practically no money at all and were on relief. They had little education, and didn't know even the rudiments of good health. On one trip I took with him, he had given a talk about the necessity of drinking pure water. A lot of the rivers and springs were polluted at that time, and he spoke
great length about this. Funny thing was that one of the women who had listened went up to the spring and came back with a rusty can full of spring water and said, "Doctor, you want a drink?" So his lecture hadn't taken much root. Another woman said, I heard her say, she was sitting on the porch and she said, "I don't know what this young doctor knows about children. I had 12 children. I raised 5 of them."
Horsemen. We had never seen such poverty. The people lived in shacks, not even houses at all sometimes. They had never been any place. They were unschooled, with little ambition, and knew nothing of the outside world. I traveled one time with Lewis into the section where Pretty Boy Floyd had lived. He was the criminal that claimed to be sort of a Robin Hood. He stole from the banks and gave to the poor, supposedly. This one place we visited, practically all the babies were named Floyd. I talked to a little boy who said someday he hoped to go to Tahlequah. They were about 10 or 15 miles from Tahlequah. He said his brother had been to Tahlequah and heard somebody. The schooling was still in the one room, little one room country schools. Teachers were not very well trained. So the people really had not much chance to get ahead. One time we went to see if we could buy some stove wood, and someone told us that one of the families there might sell us some. If they hadn't been to town recently and had a supply of flour and salt and lard. When we arrived at their little shack, the man of the house and his father and his son were sitting out in the sun beside the house, and they had rolled up newspapers and were just whittling it. And when Lewis approached them, he became friendly and then asked them to buy some wood. The man said, "Well, what's pretty scarce around here?" Of course, he was sitting in the midst of a forest. Before we moved to Tahlequah, Lewis had gone ahead to find a place for us to live. He discovered there was not a single rental house in all of Tahlequah. He inquired around and found nearby, several miles out in the country, a sort of summer camp with some log cabins. Fishermen often, people who like to fish, came out there to spend a few weeks. So he rented 2 of the log cabins since my parents were with me. And we moved in there and lived for a couple of months. Then we found one of the college professors had been transferred to another college, and he had a small house that he would rent out on the Point of Pines. The Point of Pines was a beautiful spot overlooking the Arkansas River. The house was out on this point of land. You drove out this narrow road at the top of the mountain, and the house was there on this narrow land, and you walked out to the point and looked over the Arkansas River and the valley below, and it was very beautiful. The house was very small and shoddily built, but it was a pretty place to live, and we lived there for a number of months. Finally, a place came up, and we heard of a house in town that was going to be for rent. And we were glad to get into. It was a house that was owned by some Indians, and they wanted to rent it. It had been lived in by a woman who had
college boys live with her, and it was in a very bad shape, and we had to do the painting and fixing up. But it had 6 rooms, and was a modern house. So we moved into the town of Tahlequah there. We liked living in Tahlequah. We enjoyed the professors at the college, and really had a very interesting life. But in 1936, Health Department of Oklahoma decided that they could not afford to put any money into the Well Baby clinics. Children's Bureau wouldn't pay for the entire thing if Oklahoma did not want it badly enough to share. So Dr. Dunham and Dr. Elliott, who were the bosses, Lewis's bosses, said that they would place Lewis someplace else. So then began the waiting game. We would hear one day that there was going to be a place in Montana. I would quickly read up about Montana. Next letter, we were going to Alabama, and I would read up on that. We waited for quite a while, feeling very uncertain, and Dr. Dunham said we should come to Washington until they found a place. They assured him that they would find a place for him. He'd be in Washington, D.C. temporarily. So that's how we arrived in Washington, D.C.
November 18, 1993. Returning to Oklahoma for a little while, I forgot to say that before we moved into the Point of Pines, we lived temporarily in a house in Tahlequah with an older woman, Miss Grace McGregor. Miss Grace had divided her house into two parts so she could rent half of it. She didn't make it into a real apartment. We just had the 2 bedrooms and a kitchen at the back and shared a bath with Miss Grace. The house was quite old-fashioned in its ways and had pictures of cross-stitch in God We Trust and Home Sweet Home, bouquets of cattails around the place. We lived there for several months before we moved on to the Point of Pines. Miss Grace worked in a little dry goods store there in Tahlequah, which sold fabrics and sewing machines and so forth. The economy at that time was very bad. The Depression, we were still in the depths of the Depression, and in fact, at one time while we were there, we became more depressed than usual. We were thankful for our regular salary, and after living on with next to nothing in San Antonio, we were able to make some payments on the debt and able to buy some of the things we needed to buy. We were short of everything because Lewis had gone to China after his medical education and 3 years of residency without much money, and so he was short on clothes. And I had no clothes except the ones that were left over from my teaching days and 3 years in China. Lewis had a couple of suits made in China by Chinese tailors, but they were not very well fitted, and he needed some clothes badly. We also had no furniture except the Chinese things, which were lovely, but were not the necessary things. So we needed to buy bedroom furniture, and we needed to have a table and chairs, which we bought a card table and some little kitchen chairs. We had 2 living room chairs, which we had bought in San Antonio when we first came home. We had bought lounge chairs, and we paid $9 a piece for them, but they were still useful. continuing with the Oklahoma, I marvel at how much we did with the money we had in Oklahoma. I think Lewis's salary was about $2,500 a year, and we bought bedroom furniture for Mother and Dad room and for our room, and of course Lewis had to have a new car because the old one he had in San Antonio was not good enough to travel over the roads in Oklahoma. We paid, of course, $20 or $25 a month for rent, so everything was fortunately cheap. We arrived in Washington, December 1937, and found a place to live in an apartment in Alexandria, Virginia. It was an old building, had been used as a hospital during the Civil War, and later had been used for many things, at one time a spark plug factory, but had been made into apartments. It was a very attractive building, and we rented a one-bedroom apartment there. Mother and Dad had the bedroom, and Lewis and I had a sofa in the living room. Since we were to be only temporarily in this area, we thought. Early in the next year, 1938, a position became available at the City Hospital, Gallinger Memorial Hospital, at the head of the pediatrics department, and Dr. Dunham and Dr. Elliott thought this would be a good job for Lewis to take, so he accepted the position, and this would be, we would be staying a while in Washington, so we looked for a house. We looked high and low because we needed one we could afford, and we needed to be near the hospital if possible. And Mother could not climb stairs, so we had to have a downstairs bedroom and bath. We looked everywhere. Every week we'd go and look, and couldn't find anything near the hospital. And eventually we found a house in Arlington on Highland Street, where we moved in July of 1938. I had become pregnant. As we were looking forward to having children, I had had a miscarriage in San Antonio, and we felt we were at the age, if we were going to have children, we should have them. So we moved in July into the house on Highland Street, and John was born in September 1938 while we lived there. Although Washington had grown a great deal during the First World War, it still was a rather overgrown southern town. The schools were still segregated, of course, and the buses were Jim Crow. We liked Washington, enjoyed getting acquainted with the many things there to see. We found the rent exorbitant in this house compared to Tahlequah. We paid $90 a month. But Lewis had an income now of $3,000, and we felt rather secure that this job would be a permanent one. So we were happy in our new situation and began to enjoy life with our new baby. November 19, 1993. John was born on September 27, 1938 at Columbia Hospital in Washington, D.C. Columbia was one of the older hospitals there, and later, after I retired, I worked there as a volunteer for 20 years. He was a healthy,
confined baby weighing almost 8 pounds. I had never seen a newborn baby before, so I thought he looked very little and tiny to me. I stayed in the hospital for about a week or 10 days, which mothers did at that time. When we came home, Dad and Mother were so eager to have us get home, and Dad had gone down and fixed up the fire. He didn't want the baby to be cold, and he had a roaring fire going, and I think it was about 90, 95 in the house. And so the baby cried for being too hot right away. But life in at home changed. The routine had to be different with a new baby. And with grandmother and grandfather and mother, we all made a lot out of it, but he was a lovely baby. At that time, Susanna came to help me a couple of days a week, and she was such a lovely person. She was a Negro girl that had grown up in South Carolina, and her parents had died just a year ago, and she'd brought her 5 younger brothers and sisters to come up here and live with an older sister and an aunt. They took care of this group of children. They were lovely, lovely people. So hardworking, so clean, so honest. And Susanna and I became good friends and have been ever since. I knew nothing about taking care of babies, and of course I worried a great deal. I'm sure I would do something wrong. Lewis said one time that when he came home, if the baby had been crying, Mother and I were worried, and if it hadn't been crying, we wondered why he was. But days were full of joy and happiness at that time with our new baby. Washington had grown a great deal during the First World War, but it sank back into a very slow southern city during the Depression, and that's what it seemed like. It really was not a bustling city-like place. Of course, that was the time of complete segregation. Segregation not only in the schools, but in the stores and in the theater. In fact, the one theater that had living theater in Washington, the National Theater, closed for, I think, 2 years because the Theater Guild refused to send their members down for plays because of the segregation in the theater. And there was segregation. There was no place downtown where a black person could go in and get a meal except over on 7th Street, which had very shoddy kind of shops. They could go into a drugstore and buy something and bring it out and eat in the street. It was a terrible situation. They didn't buy things in the nice stores very often either. One of the clerks in the store told me that they were told if a black person came in, they would have to wait on them, but they should put it off as long as they could, wait on everyone else and not do anything special. That was what segregation was like in Washington at that time. But we did enjoy Washington. There were so many things to do, so many things to see, and we enjoyed thoroughly living there.